First of all, I have a hello for Novin Long from a former colleague of yours at the Indochina Resource Center named Gareth Porter.
Yes, thank
who
you.
Who was here a couple of days ago talking about a new book that he's published about the history of the war in Vietnam called The Perils of Dominance. Mm. And there are a couple things interesting from this book that I want to mention and ask for your comments on. One is that he argues, based on documents and examining the record, that nobody in the national security foreign policy establishment in the United States really believed in the so-called domino theory, that through the period of the 1950s and early 60s, they were very confident of their military superiority vis-a-vis the Soviet Union and China, including nuclear superiority, and felt they had flexibility to do whatever they wanted in Vietnam. I'm paraphrasing, but that therefore this is, for example, why they abrogated the Geneva Accords, why they felt they could just ignore the Accords, the plan to have elections in 56, and then things that happened later. One other interesting comment that he made was that he believed that Kennedy resisted, although he was authorizing counterinsurgency warfare, that Kennedy was not inclined to a more massive covert military intervention, that he authorized back-channel communications through Averell Harriman to the Vietnamese, which in fact Averell Harriman refused to carry out, and that there was resistance from the national security establishment and the military to Kennedy's stance, and they were pushing for a stronger military intervention, and that this same tension, in fact, existed to some degree in the first months after Johnson came into the White House. Interested in your comments on these theses, and finally, if either of you would care to elaborate on what No was speaking about in terms of how the victory that I hope we're celebrating today has played out over the intervening years in Vietnam.
Let me comment on the first thing. The second question, I don't know the details of these exchanges, but to me that's not relevant. Because you see whether Kennedy's people withheld information from him or did not carry out certain orders, in a way, I mean, it may justify Kennedy, but we would never know what. As far as the first thing was concerned, yes, it's true that the domino theory thing was meant for the American public, to scare the American public, and not the domino in the real sense of the. They never thought about domino in the real sense of the word. If Vietnam fell, other countries would form right after that, and that the Viet Cong would land in Honolulu or San Francisco or anything. But they were thinking of domino in this term, that if the Vietnamese struggling for freedom and independence and justice, you see, to be easier, and that you don't make them pay a very high price for that, then it may get into the heads of people elsewhere in Southeast Asia that revolutions pay. And that, you see, you can make social changes and you can demand justice, not only, for your own, people, but also for the region. In effect, an effort of decolonization and confronting American imperialism in that area. And I don't think the United States would ever allow that, so.
I'd just like to add to that it's been known for 40 years that there are two versions of the domino theory. There's a public version, which is, Ho Chi Minh's gonna get into a canoe and come to San Francisco and rape your grandmother. That's the public version. And that, of course, was everybody always regarded as ridiculous internally. That's for the public. On the other hand, there's an internal version of the domino theory, which has never been questioned and is still not questioned, and the reason is because it's true. The internal, the other version is what Long just pointed out, and this just runs right through the whole post-war history, and it has sources way back through the history of Western imperialism. If there is successful independent development somewhere, it might appeal to people nearby who are suffering from the same problems. And therefore, you got to kill the virus at its source and inoculate the region from infection. That version of the domino theory is correct, and that's why it has never been questioned internally, never. Nothing in the internal record questioning it. And in fact, it continues to go on over and over. And it's not particularly Vietnam. I mean, say, take Cuba. I mean, Kennedy in general, I'll come to the second question in a minute, but he was a super hawk. Not only in Vietnam, where he was one of the most hawkish members of the administration, but also in Cuba. And we know the reasons, because we have a rich internal documentary record. Actually, the reasons were pointed out right away before, just as he was coming in by his Latin American advisor, Arthur Schlesinger, you know, supposedly way on the left. He led the Latin American mission, which informed Kennedy that what he said is the threat of Cuba is the threat of the Castro idea of taking matters into your own hands, which might appeal to other people in the region who are suffering from similar problems similar to those of the horribly oppressed Cuban population in this, what had been an American colony. And if that idea spreads, well, you know, the dominoes start falling, and we can't accept that. Now, that version of the domino theory has never been questioned, and there's a good reason, because it's correct. In fact, it's the core principle of intervention. Actually, the truth of the matter is that even the Cold War itself falls into that pattern. You go back to the concerns of Woodrow Wilson and Lloyd George and others at the time of the Bolshevik Revolution. What they were concerned with was, this was a third world country, you know, a huge country, but a deeply impoverished peasant society, basically a colony of Western Europe. And they were much concerned that independent, successful development in Russia might infect others. They were even concerned that it would affect Britain and the United States. And that's the reason for the immediate intervention. Kill virus. Well, you know, Russia's a different scale than Grenada. Grenada you can get rid of in a weekend. Russia may take 70 years, but threaten nuclear war and so on and so forth. But those are issues of scale. The principles are the same. As for Kennedy being, look, of course Kennedy was carrying, like every president is always carrying out any number of back-channel efforts to see if there's some other way out of things. They'd be insane if they didn't. But we have a very rich record of the Kennedy administration. Actually, I wrote a book about it a few years ago, which went through the whole documentary record. Kennedy was at the hawkish end of the administration. Without exception, he wanted withdrawal, but so did they all. Nobody wanted to stay there. It was unpopular at home, it's crazy, and so on. But every single case, it's always withdrawal after victory. Okay, so after we can ensure that our client regime can control South Vietnam, fine, then we'll withdraw. It's not like Iraq, where you're going to stay. And it's kind of striking to look at the memoirs. I mean, there were memoirists, like Arthur Schlesinger, you know, wrote 1,000 Days. I mean, virtually a diary of every day of what happened, very close to Kennedy. Theodore Sorensen wrote a memoir. Roger Hilsman wrote a memoir. You take a look at all those memoirs, there's not a hint about any plan for withdrawal, unless after victory. After the Tet Offensive, when the war became unpopular in the business world among elites, they all rewrote their memoirs. And in the new memoirs that come afterwards, it turns out Kennedy was a dove. You know, he was secretly trying this, that, and the other thing. Not a particle of evidence for it in the record. All the people who are later represented as doves, like Mike Mansfield, were complete hawks at the time. Just take a look back at the record. The whole story was rewritten after the Tet Offensive. And by now there's a kind of an illusion being concocted that somehow Kennedy was this secret dove who was trying to do all kind of great things, and then this vulgar Texan, Lyndon Johnson, came in and screwed it all up. Kennedy, remember, is one of us. He's one of the liberal intellectuals, kind of guys who walk around Harvard Square. So he couldn't have been doing bad things. And I think that's the source of this imagery that's being concocted. But take a look at the record. It's very rich, not just in Vietnam, elsewhere as well. I mean, you know, take, say, Colombia, worst human rights record in the hemisphere for decades. Where's it come from? Well, it comes from a Kennedy Special Forces mission, counterinsurgency mission, headed by Special Forces General Yarborough in 1962, who advised the Colombian army to resort to what he called paramilitary terror to suppress what are called known communist adherents. Well, you know, that means priests working with peasants, labor activists, and so on. It's just like Vietnam. That's what they were using. That's Kennedy. You know, it's nice to have illusions about nice people like us, the kind we meet at dinner parties and so on, as distinct from those awful people down in Texas and so on, like Johnson. But try to verify it.
I don't like to take time from other questions, but let me add one quick thing. Today is April 30th, and we talk about the end of the war in Vietnam. The U.S. war against Vietnam was fought and, you know, continuously from 1975 up to very recently. You know, and now the United States thinks that, you know, it has forced the Vietnamese political elite, you know, to comply by its demands and so on and so on. So it's okay, you know, to have relations with Vietnam for other reasons. But, you know, let me mention, for example, May 14 of 1975, on the very day that Kissinger bombed Cambodia on the May West thing, he ordered the Commerce and Treasury Department to impose a strict embargo on both north and the northern part of Vietnam and the southern part of Vietnam. You know, even though 1 week before that, Prime Minister Phan Van Dong of Vietnam sent the United States a letter saying that, you know, that they wanted to have two independent countries in Vietnam, you know, for the foreseeable future, a neutral South Vietnam and North Vietnam, and Vietnam sent two delegations to the UN, you know, for the same reason, applying to the UN. The U.S. ambassador to the UN blocked that, and then he wrote, you know, later on his memoir that was one way of continuing the war against Vietnam in other ways, and they wanted to force Vietnam, you know, to become one single country under communists, so that they could use that to justify whatever policies they have in Southeast Asia and so on and so on. So what I'm trying to say is that domino theory thing lasted long, many, many years after the end of the Vietnam, quote-unquote, end of the Vietnam War. And now they see that the dominoes are safe now, you know, quote-unquote.
Unfortunately, we have to end at 1 p.m., and it's about 3 minutes of. So we'll take this one last question, but please keep it very brief.